I vote I am gay. Oh, the BBC loves me.
Comedy and chat with Rosie Jones and friends.
Do you still think there's a need for labels?
For the sake of my career, I'm really dining out on it.
Rosie Jones.
Box Ticker!
Box Ticker 2 on BBC Sounds and Radio 4.
Kiki.
Starting tomorrow night at 11.
Well, now on Radio 4, Hometown Glory, a mini-series from the comedian Jade Adams exploring what the concept of home really means. This week, Jade's joined by Sophie Willan, Kiala Settle, Victoria Scone and Dawn French.
Country roads, take me home.
Hello, I'm Jade Adams, comedian, snack lover and, as of last month, person who is on the property ladder. Yes, babes. I'm absolutely thrilled. And not just because it's the first time I've been trusted to get on a ladder. I'm excited because I am going home. To Bristol. Or at least I think it's home. I was pretty sure it was until last week, in episode one, when I massively overthought the whole concept. And now I'm not really sure what home even is. But that's what we're to talk about in this series. Home. What it means. Why we leave. And in this episode, why we go back. Going back home is an evergreen theme in music. There's Take Me Home, Country Roads by John Denver, about the longing for a vast familiar landscape. Sweet Home Alabama by Lynyrd Skynyrd, great name to say in this accent, about being sick of the politics of city living and longing for a simpler, sunnier existence. And Adele's Hometown Glory, which is about, well, West Norwood. But rather than sing about it, I decided to sit down and have a chat with four of my homeliest homegirls. Dawn French.
I think my brother gets embarrassed watching me, and he does come, but I think it's an absolute trial. I think he eats the seat with his arse bum, with embarrassment and fear. He fears that I will fail at it. He's very proud of me, and it's like it's showing off, isn't it? It's giant showing off, everything we were told not to do when we were kids, and he can't believe I've made a career out of it.
Kiala Zettel.
What do you think's the strangest thing about British people?
Here's the deal. Because my father is absolutely British to the core. I remember growing up hearing the griddle sizzle with oil and watching my dad cracking eggs and then throwing frozen chips into the oil, and that would be his lunch.
That sounds gorgeous. I reckon some fried eggs and some frozen chips sounds exactly what I want right now.
Victoria Scone. When I say the word home, what is the first thing that comes to your mind?
Other than Diana Ross, for some reason.
This fabulous answer anyone could
possibly
given. And Sophie Willan.
If your house was on through the keyhole, what would give away that it was your house?
Well, I think it's my BAFTA, Jade.
Yep. In what is the biggest change I've made to my life since growing a mullet at the start of the pandemic, I have made the decision to leave London. And it turns out I'm not the only one. According to data compiled by the BBC, Cornwall has overtaken London this year as the most searched for location on Rightmove. God, city folk are so dramatic. Oh, I can't go to the theatre. What will I do? Oh, well, I must go and live in the sea. It's pretty clear that the pandemic has affected our priorities when it comes to the kind of homes we're looking for. People have obviously been thinking, well, it would be nice to have a bit more space, and do we really need broadband? I can always buy box sets and you can get back into magazine porn. It'll be quaint. In all seriousness, I would 100% move to Cornwall. I mean, it's known for its witchcraft and pasties. That is the whole hobby section of my dating profile taken care of, babes. I don't know what it is, but people just seem to want to live by the coast. Maybe it's something to do with the endless lapping of the tide, the rhythmic swelling of the body of water, like a great living thing, timeless and infinite, an ever-present reminder of the defiant vitality of the planet. That or the topless people. It's one or the other, I'm guessing. Something else that was thrown up by this data. Yes, that's right. I do data analysis now. This is Radio 4, not some club night in Dalston. Thank you very much. Something else that was thrown up by this data. Do you know what the most popular keyword was on Rightmove over the last 9 months? You'll never guess. Garage. Which signals one of two things. Either people are after somewhere they can make into a permanent workspace, very valid reason for a garage, Or, more worryingly, a lot of middle-aged people have formed bands. Terrifying.
I mean, I've done my time in London and I loved it, but I haven't chosen to remain there because I would rather be in beauty. Much as there's beauty in architecture, I find peace in big skies and seaside and seagulls and all of that nature, really. And then I moved out of London because I just wanted some... I wanted more bang for the buck when it came to the property. I just couldn't believe that if you just went 15, 20 miles outside of London, suddenly you got a proper house with a whole garden around it for the same money as a small flat in the middle of London. Of course, you know, of course you do. But the minute you make that decision and you pull away, you never can go back. But I didn't want to go back.
But the desire for more space isn't the only thing driving the move out of London. Data, that's right, data's back, shows that people are moving back to their hometowns because they miss them. You know what the top 10 things Brits miss about their hometowns are? Top of the list is fairly predictable. Memories, family, your old house. Number 7 on the list, famous landmarks. Now, I mean, no disrespect to Isambard Kingdom Brunel. I actually think outside of the drag world, he has one of the strongest names I've come across. But I can safely say that one of the top things drawing me back to Bristol is not the Clifton Suspension Bridge. Don't get me wrong, I like a suspension bridge as much as the next girl. It's made crossing that gorge a doddle compared to what it must have been like. Oh, babes, I dread to think. To be honest, I probably wouldn't even have attempted it. But when I'm lying awake at night picturing my new life back home, I'm very rarely sitting in my car at a toll booth on the B3129. And I love the idea, though. I love that someone, somewhere, given all that time to reflect over lockdown, really examine their life and their life choices, came to the conclusion, I just want to live closer to Wookiee O. For the record, the following are also not reasons I want to move back to the West Country. Coombe Martin Wildlife and Dinosaur Park. We got dinosaurs. The Barbara Hepworth Sculpture Trail. Monkey World. Actually, what am I saying? Dinosaurs and monkeys. What more do you need? Incidentally, number 1 on the list of the things Brits miss most about their hometowns was the memories they have there. Oh, I do miss the memories. It'd be so nice to get fingered on the ghost train at Weston-super-Mare again. And number 2 on the list, being close to family. Probably not quite as close as I've ended up, but I think I am excited about it. Because if there is one thing that 20 seasons of Keeping Up with the Kardashians has taught me, it's that becoming neighbours with your mother is a straightforward and not at all suffocating thing to do. My hometown is Bristol. Yes, I'm from Bristol. I don't know if I've mentioned it. Some of you may have worked it out yourselves. Clever, clever sausages. Because let's face it, it doesn't take much digging to get to my roots.
Well, you've got the accent that proves where you're from, Jade. I mean, whether you spent time in Wales or not, we all know where you're from. And it's proudly you and it's part of you in a really good way. And it's part of your sing-songiness and your musicality. And I can't even own that.
Where I'm from is a pretty bloody obvious part of my identity. I'm not saying it's blindingly obvious, but put it this way, if I'd been cast as Jason Bourne and not Matt Damon, those films would have been quite a lot shorter. Well, Bourne, you're probably wondering who you are and where you've come from. Nah, you're all right, love. I reckon I got the gist of it. It's often said that where you're from is about more than just the place. It's about the people. And I share so much with the people of Bristol. Their voice, their humour, their fear they might turn out to be descended from slave traders, yes. But that's why I won't go on Who Do You Think You Are? I don't want to risk it. Not that I'm not fiercely proud of my Bristol roots, but I did get excited a few years ago when my dad started researching our family tree. I started to fantasise about what I had in me. Maybe a bit of Welsh. Oh yeah, I love Wales. Maybe a bit German. You know, something a bit continental. Oh, maybe I'm Malaysian or Mexican. I do like tacos. Maybe some ancestor of mine fought bravely for her multiracial romance and had a secret child. Anyway, my dad went as far back, get this, as the 14th century. And I discovered, to my amazement, that we are originally from, wait for it, Bristol. I'll be honest, I was a bit disappointed. Like I said, nothing against Bristol, but I had been hoping for something a little bit more, you know, far flung. But I can't blame my forebears for staying put. After all, I'd have probably done the same. Going further afield sounds exciting and all, but it's a long way to walk. And you know they didn't have Ubers back then, babe. And since we're going to be talking about Bristol, I thought I'd put together a few little facts for anyone who's not clued up on the place. Just a bit of background. Until last year, Bristol had its own currency, the Bristol Pound. Because I don't know about you, but my first thought if anyone gives me money is, oh, it doesn't look very local. Bristol is the world's biggest manufacturer of hot air balloons. Now, I'm not adverse to climbing into a wicker basket, but when I do, it's because I'm nearing the end of a hamper and there's a hard-to-reach Battenberg at the bottom of it. The chocolate egg was invented in Bristol in 1873. And that, for me, really sums up the spirit of Bristol. The first people on the planet to look at an egg and go, nah, we can do better. Darth Vader is Bristolian, which is why they had to go for that weird, breathy, respiratory voice in the end. I'm not sure he would have been taken seriously as a galactic Sith Lord if he'd sounded like me. What are your orders for the Jedi captives, Lord Vader? Ah, pop him in a Death Star and crush him with a Force, would you, my love? Also, on a side note, I think I'm Your Father might be too triggering in a Bristolian accent. A quarter of the world's nature documentaries are produced in Bristol. It's basically a sweatshop. Kids mainly, some as young as 8, working 16-hour days editing footage of salamanders mating, trying to get it perfectly in time with the musical score, or Attenborough gets cross and won't let them have any lunch. Sad, really. And last but not least, and perhaps the city's greatest humanitarian feat, PC World in Cribbs Causeway is responsible for putting Gary Glitter away when he came in to get his hard drive looked at. You are welcome, world. It's hard now I'm reminiscing to imagine why I ever left. But I ain't the only one. A selection of Bristol's celebrated sons and daughters include Banksy, who left in order to pursue his dream of using street art to push up London property prices. Thanks, babes. Damien Hirst, who left to launch his range of giant animal pickles, which are delicious, by the way, if a little on the expensive side. And who could forget Blackbeard, who left to do a load of notorious pirate murders. Difficult to know who the worst one is, to be fair. If you leave your hometown, you do take a little bit with you. It's like the old saying, you can take the girl out of Bristol, but you can't take Bristol out of her. So what is it exactly that marks people out as belonging to one place or another?
I do like slightly irascible people. I quite like a little bit of grumpy, a little bit dark. And Cornwall is definitely that. You know, Cornwall has witchcraft alongside beautiful beaches and sea and cream and cider and pasties and big, open, beautiful panoramic sky and wonderful spaces. It is one of the poorest wards in the country down the middle. And people can be a little bit difficult. And life isn't all cream and lovely and seasidey and holiday-ish. It isn't that at all. It's got a little edge to it. And I like that.
I love the idea that beneath the surface of all the images you're used to seeing of Cornwall, you know, smiling families on the beach with ice creams, dog walkers holding hands in the surf, or friends drinking cider overlooking a sunlit harbour, everyone's actually fuming. Reminds me of the holidays I used to go on as a kid. And so, from Cornwall to Lancashire, and the setting of Sophie Willing's autobiographical sitcom, Alma's Not Normal.
I think I wanted to get across the humour of the people. That's just so important to me. That's when we did open auditions with, like, you know, all the people from Bolton. I mean, you know, don't you, working with Dave, who plays Bill, your boss. I don't know what it is about Boltonians, but our vowels are just hilarious. I think the people are quite anarchic people. Dave Spikey's character, the acting teacher, he sums up a lot of that Bolton humour for me. There's a sadness there, but he can't help but be ridiculous. You know what I mean? There's just a natural kind of sad and funny thing going on with Boltonian people. We're very rebellious. In the 1600s, we chopped the heads off dukes and stuck them on spikes outside of Bolton so they knew that we were an anti-royalist town. Yeah, we were very anti-royalist. Big Quaker history, big rebellious history in Bolton. I think you can see that in the people. And the amount of Asbos. No, I think you can see that in the humour as well. There's a lot of poetry in the north of England, Lancashire, rebellious, radical poetry in the 1800s, you know, and I think that's very much in the kind of blood of Lancashire, really.
Oh, I don't know if I've got poetry in my blood. Can they do a test for it? That independent spirit that Sophie was speaking of reminds me of the people of Bristol. Bristolians are hardworking, passionate and astute. They don't show off about their intelligence, they surprise you with it. But perhaps above all, Bristolians think for themselves. They're not a people who just follow the crowd or lap up every new fad. Yeah, I love the spiky, outspoken resistance streak that runs through our communities. It's characterful. It's what makes us who we are. But sometimes there is a fine line between that and something a bit more problematic.
I mean, I've got very mixed feelings with Bolton. I do struggle with the town sometimes because I do find it can be a little bit, sometimes I think there's like racial tensions and...
Oh, I was going to say your Holiday Inn's pretty rough, but yeah.
Yeah, the Holiday Inn's pretty rough. Yeah, it is.
It's not to put these places down or write them off. It's possible to feel proud of your hometown, but also feel quite embarrassed at the same time. It's a bit like having a racist grandparent. You love them, but sometimes you have to threaten not to visit unless they change. Bristol has its own problem, namely how it comes to terms with what the right-wing press likes to call its checkered past, by which they mean doing all the slavery. I once went on a school trip to the Matthew, a replica of the ship John Cabot sailed to Newfoundland to claim North America for the English. They were pretty into John Cabot there, as you might expect, highlighting his accomplishments and pointing out all the places in Bristol that are named after him. What they didn't know is I'd been on Encarta World Atlas, and I'd read up on some stuff myself. I put it to them that John Cabot had been a slave owner, and I got a detention. Now, whether that was because I was being a little smartass or because of a deep-seated resistance in this country to the principle of historical revisionism, I'll leave you to decide. Yeah, it's probably the smartass option, but we do need to take a long, hard look at our past and make sure the story we tell doesn't wash over facts. Yeah, too right. I'm back on data analysis. Even at school, the legacy of the slave trade was everywhere. We used to have an annual Colston Day service to give thanks for the life and charity of Edward Colston that would culminate with students being given a Colston bun. It's basically a massive fruit loaf. It was not my favourite day, I'll be honest. Not just because I hate raisins. This is a guy who used to run a company which enslaved 12,000 children in his time. And yet you don't see other mass murderers being honoured with cake. You were right, hun. You've hardly touched your Saddam Hussein banana bread. How Bristol treats its history isn't the only thing I've got mixed feelings about. I'm also going to be neighbours with my parents. Oh, how is that going to go? We'll probably start off just like Kris Jenner and Kim Kardashian, round each other's places all the time. And then after about 6 months, I'll be like Wilson from Home Improvement, stalking around my yard in a bucket hat, trying not to be seen from the eyes down. No, actually, I'm very optimistic about my new life near my parents. After all, people have done great things with their families close by. Steve Jobs founded Apple in his parents' garage. Who knows what massive life-changing things I'm going to start in my mum's garage. At the moment, I'm thinking street dance. And there are definitely worse things about being neighbours with your parents. Did you know that there are neighbourhoods in Los Angeles where basically everyone on the block is an A-lister? Yep. And did you know who Meryl Streep's next-door neighbour is? Gwyneth Paltrow. Can you imagine living next door to Gwyneth Paltrow? Huge plumes of vagina steam sweeping across your garden when you're trying to sit outside in the sun. Ugh! Having to get all your washing off the line so it doesn't get in all the fibres. What a nightmare. Also, Michelle Obama moved her mum into the White House in order to be closer to her. So judge me if you must. But know that in doing so, you are judging one of this century's greatest role models for women all over the world. And Michelle Obama. Besides, living with parents is actually the new normal for young adults. I know that's not strictly what I'm doing, but I do quite like identifying as a young adult. In fact, the data, right, shows that cohabiting with parents is now the most common living arrangement for young adults, many of them with partners. No wonder the birth rate's falling. Do you know how weird it is to have sex in someone's childhood bedroom, on their Buffy-themed duvet, looking up at the glow-in-the-dark stars on the ceiling, and then every now and again a Furby going, oh, just me? Now I feel for the young adults. It's not easy going back to your old room and being reminded of all the promise you had as a kid. Swimming badges on the wall to prove that you used to be able to swim 10 metres unaided. The glory days. There's no shame in it, mind. You know who else lives with his parents? Robert Downey Jr. That's right. Iron Man lives with his mum. I bet she still cleans his exoskeleton for him as well. And while I'm on the topic, all three of the Bronte sisters did it too. Granted, they all tragically died before they would have been expected to move out, but still, there are so many more living arrangements now that have come about because of all sorts of factors. So you shouldn't feel pressurised to fit into the old two up, two down, 2.4 children model of previous generations, something Victoria Scone only narrowly escaped. So what was it about Cardiff that made you go, yeah, that's where I'm going
to
move?
Yeah, we were looking to sort of make a home. I was going to go into family life with a man. So and then I think I had like a quarter life crisis and was like, absolutely, what the on earth am I doing? And I went, I don't want to do this. So we're going to have to, I'm gay and we're going to have to break up. So me and the gentleman in question, he is my best friend. We talk every second of the day. Oh, he's best friends with my girlfriend. We share a dog who just has his eye removed. And he's gay now.
Ooh, to think how different the course of history might have been. Well, RuPaul's Drag Race history anyway. But while it's true that for many of us being at home means being with parents, some would go a little further.
What's the first word that comes into your head if I say the word home?
I think mum does. Because I think I thought as a child, because we moved around such a lot as kids, wherever she was, that was home. You know, that just felt like the place where you could behave like a child and feel like you were at home. So now that my mum's not there anymore, I'm a bit confused about what home means. I've got a horrible feeling, and I hope none of my family hear this. I think it's where my dog is. So mum has been replaced by dog. It's people, isn't it? It's not a place. For me, anyway, because I've moved around so much.
I always think to myself that home is where a roast dinner comes. That's where, whenever it's just a roast dinner, and that roast dinner is invariably cooked by my own mother.
Yeah. Women make homes. Yeah. I do. You know, it's not to say that men don't, but definitely when I think of even my grandmother's, they are what made the cakes, that made the smell, that made the happiness, that made, you know, that put you firmly in your home place. Definitely it was the women.
So it is difficult to separate the concept of home from the concept of womanhood when for so long, thousands of years, the home was explicitly a woman's space. It's no accident that a lot of the things we associate with home, like comfort, safety, nourishment, are also the things that we have historically associated with women. The DNA of women and the home remain entwined, something Dawn and I returned to when I asked her about her home decor.
I've decided to be a bit wraparound, a little bit woomy, that kind of thing. I haven't got a cottage aesthetic because I can't be doing with cottages. Can't be doing with thatched and little Mrs. Tiggy Winkle mousy mousy kind of houses. I want it to be cosy, but I want it to have space. You'd think I was a tall person, but I'm not, but I act like one.
It's really strange you say woomy. I've gone for the same thing in my bedroom.
Have you?
And I've had huge arguments with various builders and my father about what the style it is that I want. When you turn to a builder and he's like, what are you doing in this room? I'm like, I want it to be a womb. They're not really...
No, wrong. And please don't leave it to anybody else to make these decisions. Please show pictures, do drawings and be exact about everything because you will get some kind of weird... You'll get some weird muff-related, pinky, hairy thing if you don't actually specify exactly what you mean by womb-like, which I'm suspecting means beautiful, warm colours. Be careful, because what a builder boy thinks is a womb is very different to what you might think.
Will probably be a 70s merkin, let's be
honest.
Yes,
exactly. Exactly. Something with curtains that you have to enter through to get in. Let's put it that way. And you are literally crawling back up the frou-frou.
If you're just tuning in, that was Dawn French saying crawling back up the frou-frou on Radio 4, providing free therapy to anyone else thinking of turning a two-bed terrace house into a giant amniotic sack. Public service broadcasting at its best. Thank you, Radio 4.
It's my house and I live here. It's my house.
I'm not surprised that people want to psychoanalyse my decision to move back home, back to my parents, and sometimes I wish I could unpack what they expect me to unpack or say something profound or noble. But really, when I'm asked about my motivations, the first thing that comes to mind is how much the property could end up being worth. What? I know. It's not exactly live, laugh, love, is it? But it would be dishonest to pretend that money doesn't enter into it at all. A home is about finding your place. Of course it is. But it's also about finding a place you can afford. It's about grubby real world practicalities. Yes, I want to be closer to my dad because I love him. But also I want to be closer to him because I know he'll project manage the work being done on my house. I do not know what cornicing is. I thought it was a kind of ice cream. Another reason for moving back is to be closer to my brother and his kids. I currently have got no plans to have children, so I need my nieces and my nephews to love me enough to clean me up when I'm old. You see, I've been away most of their young lives, so I'm really looking forward to luring them back into my life with PlayStation 5s and Instagrammable beauty rooms. that's where the child catcher in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang would really fail in this modern era. Lollipops just wouldn't cut it nowadays. Dawn felt the same.
Now that I've moved out of Foy, I have bought a house that is nearer to my brother. One of the reasons I don't think I'll ever leave Cornwall is that he's there and his family are there and I'm very connected to them. As we get old, we'll get old together. And I belong there. I absolutely belong there.
Something that struck me, however, chatting about all of this is how what is familiar and homely to one person, what acted as such a draw for Dawn and myself, can be so unfamiliar and unsettling to another. And it's wrong to assume that everyone's looking for the same thing.
And my boyfriend's interesting because he very much feels home. You know what I mean? He goes home, not to Bradford. He doesn't feel very Bradfordian, I don't think, but he's home with his mum and his dad and his sisters. They have this lovely, safe space and it's very, you know, that's where he'll always be drawn back to, I think, which is an alien concept to me, really. I've never gone back to a family member's house ever like that. You know, I don't even do Christmas with family, so... I've never gone, oh, right, time for a bit of a recalibrate. I'll go home. I would not know what that means.
Has Christmas for you always been in lots of different random places?
Yeah, and quite traumatic. Yeah. You know, it's not been a fabulous sort of time, really. Even through teens and stuff, it got kind of quite difficult in the family. So I think we just gave up on the idea of it, really, a few years ago. Then I started to see my boyfriend. They do the whole Christmassy thing. And at first it terrified me. But then I got on board. I thought, actually, it's not as terrifying as you might think, you know.
The point is, it's easy to romanticise the idea of home and to spend our lives chasing it. Some sense of belonging that we think is tied to a place or a community elsewhere. But that search can yield exactly the opposite of results. Sometimes it's when you stay put that you find it.
Are you feeling like where you are now is where you might stay?
I don't want to leave the UK unless... it's my dust particles coming out of an urn going into the North Sea.
So UK is now what you would refer to as home. What I love and the irony of it is the people in the UK working in offices have photographs of Hawaii on their walls. And I'm just wondering whether or not you've got a photograph of like Norwich on your wall in your office in Hawaii.
What's more, we shouldn't assume that there's a one size fits all version of home. One person's idea of belonging is another's idea of captivity.
I can't do routine and that intense hem. I like to float around me. I think you find new homes and new families all the time, don't you, as an adult?
Maybe when we talk about what makes us feel at home, what we really mean is what makes us happy. And whatever makes you happy, that's your home.
I went into sort of stand-up comedy thinking, oh, this will be my home or whatever. I'll find my people, I'll find... And that wasn't quite my tribe. And then I realised I'm trying to find a sense of belonging. And I don't need to find that here. I think the belonging is just with me and my creativity. And then also I'll make some lovely friends along the way.
And you know what? If moving back to be with your mum is what makes you happy, then we shouldn't look upon that as a backwards step. If you're moving towards happiness, you're always moving forwards.
It's not a trap. It doesn't limit you. In fact, I think the opposite is true. I think when you feel settled and that you belong, that's when you can fly a little bit more. That's when you can take more risks.
Because at the end of the day...
home is where I bloody well say it is.
Jade Adams' Hometown Glory was written and performed by me, Jade Adams. It featured Dawn French, Kiala Zettel, Victoria Scone and Sophie Willen. Simon Alcock was the script editor and the producer was Hayley Sterling. It was a BBC Studios production.
Less than a year after the UK emerged,